All right, thank you for that, ladies. Sounds like I'm in a tin can. Oscar, if you can fix that for me, I would appreciate that. Thank you for being here tonight. I know it is raining, and every time it rains, you know, it's a storm watch in California. I just don't understand that. You know, I'm old enough, I remember before weather was like political, right? How many know I'm talking about? Every time it sprinkles, it pops up on my phone, flood watch. Back in the day, we used to call it rain. And then if it hits 80 degrees, it's like, what is it? Heat advisory. It's like, you give me a break, okay? Heat advisory is 95 or above. But thank you for braving the elements and being here and being faithful to God's house. If you'll do us one favor, though, we are in the process. Thank you because of your Christmas gift for Jesus. We're buying another bus. We already found one. By the way, it's good to have one on the family back here. And we still have a couple here we're trying to send back to Cambodia, but they're leaving soon. Good to have Juana for a little bit here from Guatemala. So we found a bus, a really big bus, and we needed it. Our buses run, the ones we have now run full every Sunday, and so we need to really get another one. Brother Ross did a good job with that. So we need another wheelchair van. And we got one van, and we run a route and bring a lot of them in. And a lot of more want to come, so we just need that van. If you'd pray about that, we have about, I'm guessing, Brother Ross, when we get done with everything, we've added some money, about $20,000 for a church van. And Brother Ross keeps calling me and saying, I'm finding them, they're $35,000. To which I reply, keep looking, okay? We don't have $35,000 unless you want to pitch in $15,000. So pray about that and that we would get that and it would work out well. We are back in Proverbs. We've been looking at Proverbs for a few weeks now. We did a series on Proverbs a few years ago and probably did about 70 different lessons. It was different things. But we're looking specifically at things that the book of Proverbs said we should avoid, things we should stay away from. And we've been going through this now for a while. We understand that wisdom is the ability to apply God's truth to everyday life. It is really the ability to live God's truth in my life. And each and every one of us, there's different people the Proverbs mentions. It mentions the critic. It mentions other different characters, the lazy man and all that. But there's three, when it comes to wisdom, there's three people God mentions, right? He mentions the wise man, as we mentioned, someone that seeks to live God's principles. It mentions the fool. The fool is one who ignores or defies God's principles. And then the last one is the simple. The simple's kind of in the middle. They're not wise. They're not a fool. They just don't know. And the fact of the matter is, they can go either way. And so I hope that we desire in our lives to be the wise man, to find out what God says and say, I am going to do it. We've been looking at number 11, sensitive perspectives, sensitivity. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 28, verse 26, I'll give a couple minutes to review the beginning and then we'll get into the new stuff. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. I didn't say that, God said that. Whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. We mentioned last week, I think you have some blanks there. In the Bible, the heart often represents the seat of our emotions and our desires. The problem is most of us live by our emotions. Most of us live by our desires. And the Bible tells us if you do that, you're a fool. A fool does what they want to do. And the reason they ignore God's word, they defy God's word, is because they'd rather live by their own desires and they'd rather live by their own emotions. Why is that a problem? Because our heart is inherently sinful. We are a sinful being to our core. Now, when we're saved, that changes. But we didn't get rid of our flesh, and our flesh is still there, and our flesh still has a propensity to trend towards that which is wrong. When something comes up, we don't naturally think, hey, let's do the right thing. The first thing that pops up in our mind is a situation is usually the wrong thing because the flesh speaks. But we need to be spiritual enough not to follow that, because our flesh is flawed. We also said, and this is where we ended last time, the mantra of this world is, follow your heart. The Bible tells us if you do that, you're a fool. You say, well, Pastor, I'm at church. I'm obviously interested in the things of God to some degree. I understand that. I don't think anybody here would be completely describe, if you describe them in one word, to say a fool. But what happens is sometimes in our life, in certain areas, we allow ourselves to follow our desires in that area. And when we do that, we're being foolish in that area. And so we need to be very careful about that. Don't follow your heart. And we're going to look at some reasons why we should not do that. But that's really the thought of the world, right? Everybody, so, you know, everybody tells their children, like, so what do you want to do? Just follow your heart. That is the most ignorant of advice you can give somebody. Well, what do you feel? Really, we don't live by feelings. We live by truth. You follow your heart, you're going to get in trouble. And so everybody says follow your heart. That's horrible. That's horrible advice. Quit watching Hallmark. That's where you're getting that from. All right, now that we're there, let's start something new. Here we go. The truth of the Bible is this. You ready? Guard your heart. Guard your heart. You don't follow it. You guard it. You don't wholeheartedly like, oh, you know, what does my heart want? Who cares? How many of you have ever had a thought about something like, I'd like to do that, and it's like, that's a really ignorant thought. Come on. You know why? That's your heart. Your heart speaks before your spirit speaks, and it's like, stop it. Don't listen to it. Here's what the Bible says. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word keep is, it means to guard, to watch over. The picture the word gives is like, it's like a guard watching a prison. He's trying to keep the prisoners under control. He's not letting things get out of hand. That's what you're supposed to do with your heart. Why do we do that? Because it says, for out of it are the issues of life. The word issues means, you know, boundaries or borders. What we allow in our life, these boundaries we build, are going to be determined by what we allow our heart to do. And if you follow your heart, you will not have any boundaries in your life. You'll just open the gate. And so it's very important that we guard our heart. Maybe if we filled our heart with the Word of God and did not let our emotions lead it, we would be in a better spot. And by the way, let's just be honest. This world makes decisions based on feelings. You come up with all kinds of idiotic ideologies based on feelings. Here it is. What you are allowing in your heart is determining your boundaries in life. That's it. Boundaries is, how far will I go? By the way, where should we get our boundaries in life? The Word of God. We hear what God says, and here's the truth that God spoke. And based on that, we build a conviction. God says it, I'm in. I sat in church as a young man, early out of high school, and I sat there listening, and I'm like, this is not like anything I've ever heard in my life. But even as a new Christian, I knew enough to say, if the Bible says it, I'm in on it. It's not who I am, and sometimes I shook my head like, really, that's in there? But I had to say, you know what? It's in there, I'm in. And so I build convictions, and based on that, we build a standard. What is the boundary in my life I am going to build to keep me from following that principle? We do, oh, I misbelieve it, and then our emotions take over and we violate it. That's why young people, God bless you young people, they'll find their emotion and they're like, well, you know, they're filling themselves, their minds with all kinds of fleshly nonsense. And they didn't want to debate about what the Bible says. A kid when I was a youth director came over, like that's just not my conviction. I said, listen, when's the last time you read your Bible? Got real silent. I said, don't sit here and debate things with me if you don't even know what the Bible says. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with what you want to do. Now, if you can sit here and tell me why you believe that from the Bible, we'll have a discussion. We didn't have a discussion. Had nothing to do with that. We basically, look, I've said it before. A man's morality, and a man's morality will usually dictate his theology. What does that mean? That means we build what we believe about the Bible based on how we want to live our lives. Flip it. I didn't come into church with my morality, which was in left field, and say, let me fit this into the Bible. I came into to church, and when I heard the theology, the teacher of the Bible, I said, got to change what I'm doing. That's how it should be, but that's not where we're at nowadays. Look, a person who sets low boundaries for their lives is a person who has not guarded their heart, but has opened the gate and let everything in. That's what we're doing. And you wonder why you struggle to live spiritually. You wonder why you struggle to do the right thing, because you're all over the map emotionally, and your desires are in left field because you are just opening your heart to everything. You're supposed to take that word and you're supposed to let it dictate your heart. You're supposed to fill it. That was weak. You need to fill your heart with it so that when you decide what you're doing in life and the boundaries that you have, that they line up with that Bible and not with society and not with some liberal church. By the way, when, you know, they all say, I go to this, you know, church over there, and it's like some church, I got a lady pastor with her husband, some nonsense. They all like the one in Cyprus, okay? It's just a bunch of nonsense. And they don't go there very long because it's fake as a $3 bill. Look, let's just be real here, can we? We don't have a lot of this. We haven't had a lot of this recently. We had it in the past. You know, like, I live closer to Orange County. I'm going to Cottonwood or whatever. Shouldn't have said it out loud, but go for it. By the way, you know what's funny? I shouldn't say this. Three of us, one time, my son-in-law and I think my son were golfing, and they put a fourth guy on there. I'm talking to the guy like, hey, you know, how you doing? Blah, 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 blah. It's like, so, you know, what do you do for a living? He asks, I'm a pastor. He goes, I'm a worship pastor. I'm like, okay, whatever that means. So I checked his church out. Like, man, I don't know. I didn't see any Christianity in that thing. But so what we do is we want less Christianity because we've obliterated our boundaries, but we want to keep our conscience clean. So we'll find some outfit we can go to where you go to the church service and it's not like church. The music is like what you listen to on the radio. Well, no, what unsaved people listen to on the radio. And to be honest, if you really want spirituality, that's not going to fill you up. That's like eating cotton candy for dinner. Cotton candy is made with sugar and air. There's nothing good about it. And so why don't we? I don't know about you. I like being challenged. I like reading the Bible and like I needed that kick in the gut. I don't want less because you know now I'm getting towards. The end? No, I'm not getting towards the end. I'm not old, I'm older. But as I get older, it's just like, you know, the things that are important should be important. And they're not going to be important unless you build boundaries which are going to help them to stay where they need to be. By the way, if you're young and you have a family, you ought to be very careful. It's not just, well, you know, I just want to be this cool cat, blah, 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 blah. What about your kids? What are you doing to your marriage? So, there's boundaries. By the way, you know, let me say this because we like to fight this, but do you know everybody has boundaries in their life? You know, businesses have boundaries, right? You have to wear certain things. You have to show up. Most people struggle with this one. You have to show up at a certain time. You have to do certain things. There are policies you have to follow. Remember, we got a job years ago. My wife and I, we were going to manage an apartment downtown, and we had to have training. I like manage a property, keep it clean, keep it rented, and keep the light bulbs on. It's easy. They gave us a book that thick of policies to follow. Some of them were really ignorant. Do you know when we showed an apartment, we couldn't say, we were a block from the beach. We couldn't say it has a good view. They're like, don't use that because someone who's blind might be offended. Anyhow, but we had all these policies we had to follow. And you know what? We worked for them. There's all kinds of policies. By the way, you have boundaries in your life. Here's the problem. Yours are just really scattered or really low. Yeah. I don't want to be offensive tonight if you're new, but yeah. Okay. So I've used this one before, and I'm not trying to get on this. I'm not beating a dead horse, but I want you to understand, you know, how this works. Okay? So we talked about, I think we mentioned modesty, right? God says two things about modesty. He wants it to differentiate men and women. And by the way, that's only two categories in case you're confused about that. And then he wants it to be modest. Now, God says that nakedness is defined as showing your thigh. So based on that, you wear ladies' clothes, a skirt or dress, and you should be your knee level. Now, here's what you say. Well, you know, I don't have that conviction. I'll go above the knee, okay? So where's your boundary? Because above the knee goes from here to here. Okay, so where is that boundary? You tell me. You have a boundary somewhere. It's just a lot lower than others. And by the way, why in the world would you want to show yourself to somebody? Especially you married ladies. Maybe if you had a husband that would, like, tell you what to do. I don't know. But we all have boundaries. I'm sorry. I was trying to be nice tonight, and I'm going to stay with this. So what's a matter? Here it is. Why do we have most people? Here's how they do their boundaries. It's a matter of how low you let yours go. How low? And once you start that, where do you stop? Well, you know, I just don't have that conviction. Just kind of, it's blurred. So where do you stop it at? Got to stop somewhere. How low are you willing to let it go? See, we want to see how close to the edge we can get. And you know, when you start getting close to the edge, you will fall over. This isn't going well. You're like, man, I wish I was young enough to be in Patch the Pirate. It's just a matter of what you excuse in your life. See, because if you have some desire to have some spirituality in your life, you'll make excuses for what you're doing, right? And once you start making excuses, you're not going to stop. No, we're not done. You okay? Is that the pizza we ordered? It's a matter of giving into the flesh. Let's just be real honest, right? Certain things our flesh likes, you know, but it's not right. That's why we fight it. We don't give in. And really, a lot of times, it's just a matter of uncommitted Christianity. If we're committed, and again, I'm not saying you're spiritual because you have a bunch of to-dos on your list and a bunch of this and that. But on the other hand, not having those doesn't make you spiritual, right? We put those in place as boundaries to keep us from going past where God says we should go so we're safe. And that's very important. The next one. The reality of the matter is this. Understand your heart. You wouldn't follow your heart if you would dig into this verse. Understand your heart. You ready? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If we're not working on our heart to make it spiritual, to feed it with truth, to put some boundaries in there, our heart will be out of control. And when we listen to it, when we're not spiritual, it does two things. The Bible says there it's deceitful. You know, it lies to you. It lies to you. You'll make an emotional decision and you'll think it's right, but it has nothing to do with truth. Emotional people look for the most ridiculous arguments. I've had people debate with me about abortion in the Bible. Not debate, they'll throw stuff out there. What about this? Here's the Bible. It's murder. Straight up. There's never a time when it's right. Okay? Transgenderism. People who say this. It's like, and they throw these hypotheticals. Like, I think abortion's wrong. Well, would you rather have everybody do this or have them want abortion? So stop it. That's nonsense. That's idiotic arguments. Okay? Either it's true or not. Either we're following it or not. So your heart lies to you and your emotions. Desperately wicked, by the way. That means sick to the point of being incurable. If we don't guard our heart, we don't check it with truth, we just come up with all kinds of stuff. That is why people who can claim to be Christians come out with the most ridiculous things. You want me to pick on somebody? Look, he's a great basketball player. Steph Curry came out and he endorsed Kamala Harris. Thank God she didn't win. You know why? Here's what he said, and it's ridiculous. Because I'm a family man, and I want to make sure my daughters have their rights. You know what right he was talking about? Abortion. How can you be so idiotic to say you're a family man, I want my daughters to be able to kill their children? Because it's all emotions and probably a wad of cash. He doesn't have the guts to stand up. May none of them do, to be honest with you. But how can you justify that? I'm a family man. Why can't my children, when they grow up, I'm concerned they're going to get pregnant and not be able to kill children? I don't know how you can make that leap of faith. Ignorant faith. If we really understood how deep our heart can go into evil and sin, we would never trust it. We would definitely guard it, as we learned last time. You know, look, if I needed advice, if I needed counsel, I would not go to someone I know is a liar. Come on. I know that guy's a liar. I ain't going to him. I wouldn't go to somebody I know's an unrighteous individual. Because you can't trust what they're going to tell you. And yet the world said, follow your heart. Lies? It's wicked. Don't follow your emotions. As I always say, your emotions, you're not supposed to, emotions are supposed to be a passenger on the bus. They shouldn't be driving. If you do that, you go back to the very first verse we looked at. We're acting like a fool. So what should we do? I knew you're going to ask. The next one, the action of the Christian is this. Prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. God wants the word of God to grow in your heart and produce fruit. That's it. But we're filling it with so much junk that it can't compete with the word of God. We don't hear it. We don't let it take root. Look what he says here in Matthew chapter 13. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. He comes, he gets the word of God, never catches, immediately taken away. But he that receiveth word into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Right away, it's like, I'm in. Yet he has no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, he is offended. Oh, he takes it, but once there's a problem, he bails. He that also receiveth the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, it becometh unfruitful. It's trying to grow in good dirt that's full of rocks. And it can't grow. It can only grow so much. Verse 23, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So what does God want? We need to have a spiritual heart. And that means we must proactively work on it. Just because you hear the word of God doesn't mean you're going to have a good heart. I heard, and I'm not trying to be critical or anything here, but I heard this years ago, and I rejected it the minute I heard someone say it. They said, it doesn't matter necessarily if you're obeying the word of God. If you are under it and hearing it, it's going to be good for you. And here was the illustration. It's like a strainer. You know what a strainer is? It's the thing you put spaghetti in so the water gets out and you get the noodles, right? You know, he says it's like a strainer. If you run the strainer through the water, it doesn't retain any of the water, but it's a cleaner strainer. Well, that works for strainers. That doesn't work for the heart. Okay? That's someone that James says is hearing the word, but he's not doing the word, and so it does nothing for him. And what are we doing with what we hear? The seed's the word of God. Of course, the ground is our heart. So there's four hearts he mentions here. The first one is the hard heart. That was in verse 19. When any heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the word by the wayside. That may be an unsaved individual. They have no spiritual foundation. They just hear it. The seed is there. Years ago, I was living in a house, and I tried to get some, you know, I had a spot on my grass that wouldn't grow. I tried to put seed on it, and the birds just ate it, and it never worked, okay? You know how it is. The grass doesn't grow where you want it to, but it grows in areas where you don't want it to. So this is what it is. So that's what's happening here. Seed's just laying there, and Satan comes and takes it away. Zero effect. It was just heard. It just sat there, never got lodged, and it's not doing anything for you. Then there's the shallow heart. He received the word into stony places. The same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy, he has no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's unfruitful. In other words, yeah, the top level of the dirt might be good, but it's hard underneath, and so it doesn't take any root. He may receive this and be real excited about it, but it's not backed by commitment, right? There's people, you know, come on, it's church our size on Sunday, all the people here, it's like, you know, oh, I love this church, and I love the word. 2 weeks, you're not going to see them. Because it was all surface. They came in, they had an emotional experience, they like what they heard, but there's no commitment to the Lord, there's no commitment to the word, so that gets zero root, and gone it is. Okay? There's just no commitment. By the way, you got to be committed. You got to be willing. Bibles, by the way, sometimes we got to turn up the ground. It's hard. God says, hey, you need to work on your heart. No wonder the seed's not working. You got to turn that up. Shallow heart. Then there's the distracted heart. He also that received among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. In other words, he had some good ground, and the seed started to grow, but there was a lot of thorns growing along with it, and eventually the thorns choked out the good. And he mentions what a couple of the thorns are. Here's when we have a heart for God, and we'll listen to the word, and we want to do the right thing, but we're allowing the wrong things to our heart at the same time, and we think the two are going to grow together, and they're not. By the way, the bad's always going to choke out the good. Amen. Unless you're committed to weeding. You're committed to saying, I'm getting those things out of my life. I want the word of God to be fruitful in my life, but it's not going to be fruitful if I'm not clearing these things out. That's why you cannot live a worldly Christianity and really love Jesus. Amen. I don't care how many bumper stickers are on your car. I don't care how long you stand up with your hands in the air singing idiotic songs. It has nothing to do with that. It's about the word of God. We choose to, I just want the worship. No, you like the rotten music. And then you got some guy getting up, giving you some idiotic little TED talk, throws Jesus' name in it, and you think, there's no truth in that. Good music's important. You know why? It's stirring the heart. It's getting us ready to say, man, that was about the Lord. And then we hear the word of God, and it's like, Lord, what do you have for me? By the way, you say, how do I know that's a problem in my heart? Does God speak to you at all? And I'm not saying every service, you know, you're not right with God, you got to come down here. But God will point something out like, hey, let's strengthen this. You know, when's the last time you were at the altar on a Sunday? Some of you wouldn't come down here if we had gold coins. I'd be the first one here with empty pockets. It's just like, hey, God, and you know, that's good. I need it. Sometimes you know what we need? A reminder, right? It says, put the brethren in remembrance of these things. It's like, that was good for me, Lord. I need that reminder. And I hope that's your desire. But weed yourself. He says there's two things, the cares of this world. We're just too concerned about what's going on in this world. We come in here and it's like, hey, can I get out of here by the time, you know, can I beat the lunch crowd? And I'm all for beating the lunch crowd, amen? But we need to be very careful. Hey, can God speak to me? Is there something here for me? And then the deceitfulness of riches. We're more concerned about our financial welfare than we are our spiritual welfare. And by the way, I'm not against you being financially prosperous. In fact, go for it. That's God's will, and you're working somewhere. If someone's going to make the money there, it might as well be you, as long as you tithe, amen? If you don't tithe, then I hope someone else gets it. But we're just, you know what, deceitfulness? I need this money. This will get me what I want in life. No, it won't. You can make all the money in the world. But without Jesus Christ, it's nothing. Some things money can't buy. And then here's where we want to be, right? A receptive heart. Verse 23. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground, it's prepared, it's ready to go, is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. So what does he do? He does what it says. It bears fruit. Where does it say that? That's what fruit is. It's God taking the word of God that gets in our heart and it works in our life. It produces something in our life, right? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, and all those other things. And what happens is when we love God and we're learning those things, what happens is the Spirit of God bears that fruit in our lives. Even though it may not be natural to us, right? We look at the fruit, love, joy, those are easy. Peace, okay? Long-suffering, no. Gentleness, uh-uh. Meekness, that's not naturally who we are. But you know what? The Spirit of God produces, that's fruit. And what does the Spirit of God use to produce that fruit in our life? He uses the Word of God. But we have to allow it to take root in our heart. And as we allow the Word of God to take root in our heart, the Spirit of God makes it a part of our life as we obey it. And you know what happens? We bear fruit. By the way, let me ask you this. We're done. Does the Word of God bear fruit in your heart? Just ask yourself, are you better in areas of your life than you were, say, a year from now, a year ago, or 2 years ago, or three? You ought to be going forward. If the Word of God is bearing fruit in my life, I'll be a better husband. I'll be a better father. I'll be a better grandparent. I'll be a better Christian. I'll be a better employee. I'll be a better everything. Why? That's fruit in our life. It's practical. It's visible. But the point is, we've got to allow it in our heart instead of just blindly not feeding our heart and not let it doing anything in our life. So the heart can be a two-edged sword, but the Bible says we can feed it the Word of God and God will bear fruit in our life. So where are you at? Let's stand together this evening. We'll bow our head and close our eyes and we'll pray. Our Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for this evening. We pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord. So many are so tempted just to follow their emotions, their feelings. Lord, we don't work on having a heart for you. We're not allowing the Word of God to transform who we are. So often we're just blindly following the same principles of this world. We're going to experience the same results that this world experiences. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help us. May we guard our hearts. May we guide them through the Word of God. May the Spirit of God transform us truly to be more like Christ. Thank you, Lord, for those that are here. I pray you bless them as we go our way until we meet together again this weekend. And Father, give us safety as we go home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.